Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment. Food as sport. Food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me. Today, my guest is Jamie Foxx. She is a TV host, podcast host, and takes a lot of pride in her health and wellness. You can find Jamie at JAYMEFOXX on Instagram. Jamie Foxx, welcome to the American Glutton Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We have lots to talk about. You're the female face of Onnit.
Correct.
You work out and you're gluten-free.
Yes, and now meat-free.
Now meat-free? Mm-hmm. Is that new?
A year and a half.
A year and a half meat-free.
I don't eat things with legs and eggs, so that's kind of like my motto.
Legs and eggs.
I don't eat things with legs and
Would
I don't eat eggs.
Would you eat a sea slug?
No, because I like snails.
Would you eat a mollusk? Any kind of...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'll eat scallops, and sometimes I'll have salmon or tuna, like if my protein options are really limited, but yeah. I try to make sure that I don't eat or kill any living creatures.
I feel like I've read an argument that scallops, there is something to be said that they're almost like a fruit. Like, it's like a vegan should be able to eat them. Listen, I could be on real dangerous territory talking about this, but you're not a vegan, but you don't eat things with, but isn't it possible that that's just some kind of like a meat fruit that grows in a shell?
Well, it's not considered a meat because it's just a muscle. It's like a living organism. But people who are vegan consider that still like a living thing.
Yeah.
So.
But a vegetable's not a living thing?
I mean, that's why I've never said I'm vegan because I do still eat dairy. Like if I have a gluten-free chocolate chip cookie and there's milk in it, I'm not going to be like, no, I'm vegan. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to have it because I have a gluten allergy and it's hard for me to eat those things. So for me, and I don't want to build up a lactose allergy because if you cut dairy out or anything, the older you get, your body prevents it from being digested. So I don't know. Scallops, I think, are so nutrient dense. They're so good. And I really like scallops, to be honest.
I do too.
There's no heartbeat, no eyeballs, so I don't feel anything when I eat them, except I feel good.
Right.
Like I can feel my body likes the protein and the nutrients in it.
Does the same? And listen, this is me from a place of complete ignorance, having read something that I didn't read with a lot of dedication, apparently, as you can tell. But does the same go for mussels and clams and oysters?
Correct.
Those are all in the same group.
Yeah, it's all just a living organism. So you wouldn't call it a mammal or an animal.
It's not a fish.
It's not a fish. It's not a reptile. It's just a living organism. So it kind of, the sea is his heartbeat is what they say.
Right.
But it's a muscle. So like I said, there's no eyeballs and no heartbeat.
Yeah.
So
then it's safe.
Did you make this decision to be meat-free for ethical reasons or health reasons? Or
for health first. Now it's like, you know, I have a lot of friends who are vegan and I have a lot of friends who are pretty dedicated in like a meat-free lifestyle. And I have Hashimoto's, so that's why I'm gluten-free. And that's why I stopped eating eggs. And so a few like close friends of mine who are vegan were like, we'll go gluten-free if you give up meat and see how you feel. Because I'm from Texas and I eat meat every meal, like chicken sausage for breakfast, steak, chicken. Like I'd eat the whole Noah's Ark, you know, I didn't even care. I was like, whatever. So I was like, fine, I'll just try it. And within like a month, like my thyroid got smaller, my energy level changed, my sleeping patterns were different, my hair, my skin, my nails, my whole body changed, but like for a positive. And I was like, wow, like I don't need to take a life to save my life. That's kind of how I looked at it. So it was like, wow. And the energy that you're absorbing when you eat the meat, the animal is scared and frightened if it's not like a free range. And still, like, you're taking an animal's life that's not ready to naturally die. There's something I feel like karmically with that. And then the hormones and chemicals and what, you know, you are what you eats. So whatever that animal eats, you're also ingesting. So it's like all those things I started like paying attention to. And then it was like, who was the person one day that was like, you know what? It's okay to eat cows and pigs and chicken and turkeys, but not dogs and cats and rabbits. Like, who made that choice?
I would think that that's largely cultural.
Yeah, but still, it's like, you know, when you take a step back, you know, and then I started liking all these videos and pictures of the baby pigs. And so then my whole Instagram search feed was just like baby pigs playing with soccer balls and cows, you know, rolling around and like, you know, being doing smart things. And I'm like, oh, it's just, it's all the same now. And I just kind of was like turned off. And then when I saw a steak, it was like, oh, that's just an animal's muscle. Like it just, it didn't seem as naive and fun. Like before, I'd be like, oh, I'm eating meat. Now I look at it, I'm like, where'd that come from before my plate? What's it doing to my body? So it kind of was first for health and then ethical reasons. And then I got emotional attachment to it.
To the animals.
Just to the situation.
To the, right.
Yeah. And like I said, like, I don't need to take a life to save my life. There's so many things that I've been able to replace. Like, I mean, at first it was hard. For the first like 2 months, I was like tired. I'm like, why am I so tired? I'm like, oh, my iron is low. My B vitamins are low and my vitamin D. So then when I started correcting those things, then I just felt great.
Yeah.
You know, because there are certain things my body was used to getting. If you feed your body McDonald's every day, your body's going to figure out how to function.
Right.
Your body doesn't want McDonald's every day. But if you do that, it's going to figure it out. So for me, I was feeding it meat every day. Take it out dramatically. My body's like, skirt, wait a minute. I need this. I need that. How am I supposed to function? So it was like we had to work together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The workarounds for these ethical problems, too, are kind of bizarre. I was in Bhutan, which is a largely Buddhist country.
Okay.
And we ate vegetarian every day. And then one day there was beef at dinner. And I was like, whoa.
How'd you feel when you ate vegetarian, though?
I was hungry. Yeah. I was constantly hungry. But yeah. When we got to beef, I was like, I thought you guys couldn't kill cows. Like, what's happening? And the guy literally said, no, no, it's okay. We like scared it and it jumped off a cliff. Literally, the cow jumped off a cliff. And so then they were like, well, it's dead. So now we can eat it. But we didn't kill it.
I get that. I mean, that's understandable. You know, like, I don't know. Did that seem weird to you?
Honestly, that, like, trying to wrap my head around the ethics there was tough. I ate all the beef that night.
You felt good?
I felt great, yeah.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's like, okay, so you scare this animal into death? You didn't, like, find it dead and then go, okay, we can eat this. This is like a sacrifice from the gods or whatever?
I think there was a little more intention behind, like, yeah. I think they knew if we scare it in the right way, it's going to go over that cliff and die.
But see, that's kind of goes back to what I was saying. There's fear and energy getting put into that animal when it dies. So you're consuming that.
Hard to not kill something without that energy.
It's true. It's true, you know? So, I don't know. I just kind of started thinking about things. Like, taking the rose-colored glasses off has been the biggest, I guess, enlightened journey I've taken, you know?
Yeah.
Because the older you get, the more you really pay attention. When you're younger, you know, it's like when I talk, I have a friend who's a 9-year-old, and they're like, oh, do you still not eat animals? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to, like, scare them and be like, oh, that pig is your burger. And then they're like, holy crap. But, you know, I'll ask questions like, what's a hamburger? And they're like, a cow. I'm like, a cow's an animal. And they're like, huh. I'm like, I just don't eat cows. And so then they're like, but it's just crazy to watch a 9-year-old and then me, someone who's older, kind of compute it in a different way.
Total. No, 100%. When my two youngest kids were like 3 and 5, I was at a supermarket and we were buying meat. And I realized, like, they have no idea that this doesn't come in a package other than cellophane and styrofoam.
Right.
And I took them. I don't know if it still exists. There was one butcher that processes game meat in Los Angeles County.
Like deer and...
Yeah. And so I knew they had whole animals. You know, even if you go to a butcher, sometimes they've just got quarters or halves of animals and there's nothing on it that looks really like an animal, all the head and everything.
Yeah.
But because they process game meat, they have whole animals. And we went and my kids got to see, like, a whole animal go from what it looks like to in a package.
Right.
And I was like, I want you to know that all the stuff we buy that's meat starts out like more like this and winds up like this. And I just wanted them to have that knowledge.
And visual too.
I wasn't trying to dissuade them from meat. I eat meat. And at the end of it, they were fine. Yeah. They were like, okay.
I think it's kind of like having the birds and bees talk, you know, like you have to give that visual where you're like, oh, that's what happens? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, because then they just think it's like some storybook. They're like, oh, I know what a cow looks like and a pig looks like from the Panda Zoo and my childhood books. You know, they don't really think about like the middle stage where they get murdered and
right.
chopped up and processed and packaged. You know, it's like a whole thing. So.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot. It's a lot. I think kids should know that.
Yeah.
You know, especially like city kids who have no connection to right. like what a farm is and where food comes from.
Right. And like how it really works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot to think about.
It is.
Hashimoto's is a legit mm-hmm. autoimmune disease.
Hashimoto's thyroiditis, yeah.
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 Because this is one of the things that I had to get over for myself because
You had it?
No.
Okay.
No. I was convinced that every human was gluten intolerant.
I believe that.
You do?
I do. I believe that everyone has a certain sensitivity only because the way... Because so gluten is the protein in wheat, and the way wheat is processed now, it's like GMO'd, and the soil it's in is dodgy. So I feel like now we can't really process it. So I think everyone slightly is like, oh, I feel bloated when I eat bread.
I don't.
Really? You feel fine?
And I cut bread out of my diet for 10 years.
Yeah.
And then...
Jeez.
And then, because I was totally convinced of what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then I even did the... what's his name? Michael Pollan had this recipe. You get like heirloom wheat and make bread and it's and huh. you allow it to ferment and like the
gluten gets killed developed, off.
Like all of this. Yeah. And I made that and I ate that and I felt fine. And I was like, oh, well, it's just that we have too many ingredients. In the 1930s, our legal ingredients for bread went from flour, water, salt to like Wonder Bread with 30 ingredients.
Bleached
right?
and
all yeah, this. And yeah, then yeah. they got to add vitamins back. And I mm-hmm. just, and I was like, well, we can't eat that, but we can eat this and this whole thing. Anyway, when I put bread back into my diet, mm-hmm. I felt better.
Weird.
Yeah.
Do you eat like white bleached bread?
I eat, my favorite bread is something called Schmidt's 647 old-timey bread, and it has so many ingredients.
I know, it's the yellow and red package. It looks like it's like
a... There's a few. There's like a whole wheat version. By the way, I don't think there's any whole wheat in it. Whole wheat,
no.
Multigrain, French is my favorite, and okay. a white. There's a ton of ingredients.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even look. The ingredients are long.
Yeah.
It's got everything that... What we're talking about is not supposed to have. I feel so good when I eat this bread. I have power. I feel vital.
Could it be the carbs, you think?
I think that's a huge part
of
it.
Do you eat a low-carb diet, and then when you have the bread, your body's like, woo?
No, I eat a medium-carb diet
okay.
right now.
Hmm.
Yeah, on a cut.
I wonder what
cutting
it is.
Weight. So.
Could it be you mentally? Like, you think, like, this is going to make me feel good.
But I went into it the other way. I went into it apprehensive, going like, I've read Grain Brain. I think we're not
right.
meant to eat this stuff.
Right.
I'm scared that the thing making me fat is carbohydrates. So when
right.
I started eating it, like the first 3 days, I gained 9 pounds when I reintroduced carbohydrates to my diet.
Jesus.
And I was terrified
yeah.
that – And I was literally going like, how long do I let – do I gain 30 pounds?
Right.
But then on day 4, I started to take weight off again. And
yeah.
and then it all balanced out. And I've gotten stronger, more energy in the gym. The results of my weight loss is like much – I'm much happier with it. So
right.
I just – I think at the end of the day, like, you have a diagnosed condition.
Correct.
Like, you have a legit thing,
yeah.
but I think, like, applying that to everybody and going, nobody can tolerate this, I have found that to be not true.
Right.
Just because I thought nobody could tolerate it, and
right.
then I found out I can eat it in abundance.
Yeah, people are always like, oh, people love to feel like they can cure me. And no matter what I talk to someone, they're like, oh, you have a gluten allergy, you know what you should do. I'm like, here we go. They're
yeah.
like, you should... make your own wheat in your backyard and then be able to eat it. And I'm like, ugh. They're like, order bread from Europe. I'm like, I don't care. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to eat bread.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh, you poor thing. And I'm like, I eat a sandwich. Either I have gluten-free bread and there's some really nutrient-dense like seed grain-free
and
bread.
Delicious.
Yeah. And I'm like, if I do crave something like that, cool, but I'm not really like a bready person. Like when I go to Starbucks, I wouldn't go, I want a croissant and a Danish and a whatever. And now I look at it as like a blessing because now I'm not eating that garbage to begin with. If I go to someone's birthday party, I'm not going to eat the cake and the cupcakes and whatever. I just don't eat it. So it's saving me from eating that garbage to begin with. Yeah. So I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
No, totally.
People are like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, I feel great though. Like,
yeah.
I eat better than you do and I feel better. So I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's, gosh, for like 10 years ago. And my doctor was like, oh, your TPAGs, which are your thyroid antibodies, are attacking your thyroid. I still have like a goiter, like you can see it in my throat, but it's not as, I mean, it used to be like twice the size. Like if I sat like this, you'd be able to see it. And I just thought it was like a part of my throat. I'm like, I never even don't notice that. And then they were like, we're going to put you on steroids and thyroid medicine and this and that and this. And I was like, holy shit. They're like, we're going to test you for cancer. And I was like, whoa. Like, it just spiraled my whole world. I'm like, wait a minute. I went from being healthy to all of a sudden having all these issues. So then for 2 months, I took the thyroid medicine and the steroids and all this stuff. And then it spiraled me from having a low thyroid to a high thyroid. And they put me on a different thyroid medicine to bring me back down. My body was so out of whack. And I was like, fuck this. Like, I don't like medicine to begin with. Like, if I get a headache, I don't ever take Tylenol. I just think, okay, my body's alarm system is going up. I need water or sodium or something. I just try to fix the problem instead of band-aiding it.
Sure.
And so with this, I'm like, I'm band-aiding the problem with medicine. My system is still out of whack. Something's off. So I did this crazy detox diet where I'd cut everything out of my system. No alcohol, no sugars, no cheese, no fruit, no nothing. And ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, grilled chicken, sauteed spinach, and sweet potatoes. And I cooked it all myself for 2.5 weeks. That's all I ate. And then reintroduced things into my diet. And every time I had wheat or had something that was like super starchy, my body, I would just immediately would feel tired and sluggish and bloated. And like whenever I do eat gluten, the fronts of my shins itch so badly that I'll like not even realize it and like break the skin and start bleeding. I'm like, oh God. Like it's like these little things my body does that show me like this not happy. And so I went gluten-free for 6 months, like hardcore, and went back to the doctor and they checked my levels. They're like, oh, the medicine's working. Like your body's normalized. And I was like, oh, by the way, I haven't taken the medicine in 6 months and I changed my diet. And immediately they were like, oh, well, you need back on the medicine. That's just, your body can go in ebbs and flows. And it's not the diet, it's the medicine. You got to get back on the medicine. They were like, medicine, medicine, medicine. And I was like, no, no, no. Like this isn't. So I just never started taking the medicine again. And changed my diet, and I've been medicine free for almost 10 years.
Wow.
And yeah, my thyroid has shrunk. My body is super reactive. Like if I do eat something that's not out of my normalcy, like if I do like eat a lot of carbs or do a lot of things, all gluten free, obviously, I can see the difference in my body. Like, and I can lose weight quick and I have energy. And it's just my whole body just reacted better. So I took out the toxins instead of putting more toxins in with the medicine.
Yeah.
I wanted to heal my system because my thyroid was out of whack and then my immune system was super high. Like the only positive thing to Hashimoto's is that I never get sick. But the downside is if I don't keep that into a controlled environment, then it just spirals, you know, like my immune system was trying to break down my thyroid.
Right.
So my body was working against each other. So taking medicine didn't fix that. It just slowed down the process.
But this is a very, very American thing to do.
I agree.
Like with statins and yeah, all these things. Yeah. It's like, no, you can continue doing everything you're doing and here's right, a medicine to like assist you.
Yeah.
But you don't actually get healthy.
You don't just get help.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing is like you take steroids and that's hard on your liver, but your thyroid and your liver work together because your thyroid gives your liver T4 and it transforms into T3 and sends it back to your thyroid. So if you're stressing out your liver, it's not going to work well with your thyroid and your adrenal glands get depleted. Like it's just, it's a domino effect. So it just didn't make sense. I was like, none of this makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then when I stopped eating meat, it made my thyroid smaller and more energy. And I think maybe because I was consuming less hormones from the animals, which hormones is what your thyroid produces. So I just think it was like this like handshake agreement that I just kind of separated and my body was like, oh, we don't need this.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's wild. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I felt lighter when I worked out. Like when I would go hiking, I had more energy, I had more stamina when I stopped eating meat. I don't know if it's because it was like hard to digest. My body is digesting this meat. Because I would eat like 2 chicken apple sausages before I would go hiking or some kind of protein, like nutrient dense thing. And then I would just be like, oh, I'm so tired. And I took the meat out and I was like, I can go run a marathon. Like, I just felt so energized. It was so strange.
Do you worry about your protein now? Like, what do you think about protein?
Oh, every day.
Yeah.
Every day. I have protein bars in my purse. I carry nuts with me. I always try to make sure that I'm getting high enough protein. I take cinnamon capsules to stabilize my blood sugar so that I don't, you know, because if I don't have enough protein one day, I like kind of feel tired. Like, I'm constantly on the forefront of that. And that's when Onnit came to me and they were like, hey, we're doing a plant-based protein. Would you be the face of it since you stopped eating meat? And I was like, hell yeah. And it actually tastes good. I don't like a lot of protein powders because I feel like, A, I'd rather get the nutrients from the actual thing, like the vegetable or whatever. But with the plant-based protein, it's sugar-free. They use like monk fruit and they do all these great proteins. It's soy-free, gluten-free. So I was hooked on that. And it's easy because I can just drink it and go.
Yeah.
And I eat a lot of nutrient protein-dense vegetables like spinach, broccoli. Mushrooms are so high in protein. And people just need to be aware. Like, you just need to look at what you're eating. You know, and I was eating so much protein to begin with. I was having all this meat, which I was like, I need protein. I need 100 grams of protein a day. Then I was eating vegetables with that. So I'm getting all this protein, which is probably why my body was kind of stressed out too, because you can only digest and process so much protein and then your body stores it as fat if you don't like burn it off. So I just think that people focus too much on protein sometimes and not enough like nutrients and vitamins.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
On the diet I'm on now, it is definitely heavy emphasis on protein. And when I first started, I was not really accustomed to eating every couple of hours.
Yeah.
And so I just go like, well, I got a couple hours left and I owe 200 grams of protein. I'm going to sit down and just get through it with chicken breast. And I felt awful doing that.
Yes,
but
if
I space it out and I don't get more than like 45, 50 grams in an hour, I'm okay.
Yeah. How much protein do you eat in a day, like gram-wise?
265 grams a day.
Fuck. That's wild. That's a lot. Yeah. I need like 80 to 100 and I'm good. If I get more than 100, I can tell that like I feel tired.
Yeah.
But if I don't get enough, then I also feel tired. It's like you have to find that healthy balance.
There's a magical
260,
spot.
260, Christ. How many chicken breasts is that?
Yeah, I was like going to ask that.
Well, I don't ever eat it in just chicken. It's a lot of chicken breasts. It's a couple pounds of chicken. Mm-hmm. But I do whey protein in the morning. I do casein protein at night before I go to bed. And I do chicken or... I've found a very lean ground beef, which is like 96% protein and 4% fat is the leanest I've been able to find ground beef. Or fish, I eat cod a lot.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Rockfish, too, is pretty cheap. It's like what they make like fish tacos out of. And it's pretty high in protein, too. It's easy to cook. It's easier to cook than salmon.
Yeah. I try not to eat a lot of salmon because it's got a lot of fat in it, too.
Yeah. It was a good fat, though.
Yeah, but I don't want that much fat. It's a lot of fat. Just dripping with omega-3s. I can taste the fat in salmon.
Really? Yeah. I like that.
I do, too. Yeah. I like it too much.
That's why I liked bacon.
Yeah.
All right.
But this is the other thing about bread. When I reintroduce carbs, bread, pasta, rice, potatoes back into my diet— Without fat, they're fucking boring.
Yeah.
It's not fun. I thought I'd be sitting there eating bowls of this stuff, and I get like a cup of rice with just plain rice with a little soy sauce or something, and it is not super exciting.
No.
But I feel great.
Well, it's funny you say that. Now, I think probably why you feel so good is because you're consuming so much protein, the carb is helping you break it down.
Probably.
Maybe that's why you feel so good.
Yeah.
I also don't eat grains. I forgot to say that too. I don't eat corn. I mean, I don't eat quinoa, rice, none of that.
Oats.
No oats.
Barley.
No, barley is wheat. Right. Yeah. But oats are really hard to digest in general. Like, I guess oat milk is easy because it's already been processed for you. But like oatmeal, when I see someone eat oatmeal, I'm like, ugh. But it's just so hard for your body to break down. Rice too, and quinoa. You can see it in your bowel movements. So you can tell that it's hard for your body to break down.
I
want to
say, I have not seen a kernel of rice in my bowel movements.
Maybe you chew it well.
I,
You should inspect closer.
I don't know that that's true either. Yeah. I'm going to do some research on this.
That's one thing my homeopathic doctor, I started going to one after the Yahoo was like, take medicine for the rest of your life. I'm like, fuck that. So then I went to like a homeopathic nutritionist and they were like, look, every time you eat something, just when you go to the bathroom, look and see. Like for some reason, no matter how well I chew cashews, I can always see cashews. So I'm like, my body just can't digest it.
Right.
My body can't break it down. I still eat them, but I just know my body's like, bye. Like, it means nothing to my system.
Yeah.
Corn, especially. And then every time I'd eat, like, a grain, I could just see it. And I'm like, oh, well, my body doesn't want it. So, and it's just high in carb. And it's, you know, they say now, like, oh, the same chemical nutrients in gluten is also the same chemical makeup in brown rice now. Your body registered the same. I'm like, oh, fuck it. Like, you just can't win. You
is
know?
That true?
Yeah.
Wow.
They say eating white rice is better for you now.
Right.
I mean,
this kind of stuff changes all the time.
All the time.
Like, yeah. I think what you've done is really awesome.
It's hard.
I look at, and sorry, Paige,
go
you're
ahead.
About to get tossed right under the bus.
All right.
Uh-oh.
My wife and her friends. They will go like, I want to do a diet. What worked for her? Well, I'm going to do that. And mm-hmm. I think what you're talking about is really specific to an ailment that you had. And then yeah. I'll see like, and it bleeds into my older kids where it's like, we're searching for this thing and that worked for them.
Right.
So I'm going to do that. And it's like, well, she had Hashimoto's. Like, she had a legit thing.
Right.
And so I don't know that we necessarily apply that universally to like, well, that's just the way to do it.
That's a good point. People will be like, oh, wow, like you look so skinny. Like I'm going to eat like you. And I'm like, but I'm not eating to be skinny. I'm eating to stay alive.
Right. That's
you know, like
totally different.
I'm eating to survive. I'm not eating for like people do. Like my homeopathic nutritionist was like, don't ever eat for reward. Like, don't be like, oh, I've lost 5 pounds. I'm going to have this cupcake. Because food is not a reward system. It's a survival tool.
Yeah.
So when I heard that, I was like, oh, I never think about that. Like oh, I'm bored. I want to eat these chips because they taste good. That's fine. You're not, like, rewarding. You're splurging. You know, you're like, being naughty. You're like, oh, I'm going to eat some chips, you know? But if you're like, oh, I did so well today. I burned all these calories. I'm going to eat that donut. You're rewarding your body with food. So it's a trickery. Your body's going to absorb it differently because mentally you're preparing your body like, this is bad. I'm going to eat it. I don't care if it makes me fat. And I feel like people just look at food so differently. So when someone's like, I'm going to eat like you, I'm like, don't, because it could make you feel sick.
Yeah.
You know, like this works for me. Hashimoto's or not, my body, my O positive blood type, the way my body reacts to things, it works person specific. Like, if you ate like me, you might feel like garbage. You might eat like me and feel good.
I know I would not feel good if I ate like you. It's just not.
Yeah.
And I've tried a bunch of different diets. Yeah. I haven't tried veganism yet, which I still have to do.
I always say I'm meat free.
Right.
I always say I don't eat things with legs. And people are like, well, salmon. I'm like, salmon has no legs. And they're like, oh, so I just don't eat things with legs. And I don't eat eggs. Because I stopped eating eggs a long time ago because they were like, oh, well, what the chicken eats. If he has a high grain diet, then you eat the embryo, and then the embryo has those proteins, and you're ingesting, you are what you eats. So I was like, oh, I didn't think about that. So I cut out eggs for like 4 years ago. Do you eat eggs?
Yeah.
How do you feel about eggs?
I mean, I actually don't eat a lot of eggs right now. I eat egg whites if I'm going to eat anything. And then in a pinch, if I'm somewhere and I have to eat and I haven't brought my food with me, like it's a disastrous emergency, I'll eat eggs.
Yeah.
But I'm even lower fat than whole eggs. So I would
really?
Do like 4 egg whites and 1 egg yolk or something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
Some for the
ratio
cholesterol.
Like that. Yeah, only because like my calories are set up in a way that I want more calories from protein and carbs than I do from fat. I have right. a minimum amount of fat I have to get.
Everybody has
and
to.
Yeah, and a maximum. And I try not to go over it. So I don't eat eggs for that reason. But I'm not like opposed to eggs.
Do you eat like free range, cage free, all that stuff?
Here's an analogy that will maybe explain to some degree. My wife was like super into like all the water in our house has to be from a glass bottle.
Oh,
and I'm
like that.
Okay. And then I randomly saw the bill 1 month, and I was like, "Are you
Whoops.
Smoking crack with spending this much water money on water
right.
when we have a tap where it's almost free?"
Ew, you and, don't want tap water.
Well, I did. I went on protest at my house and I was like, I am only going to drink tap water just to like show you that your fancy bottled water is BS. Right. I got like a sore throat in a week. Uh-huh. LA tap water sucks.
Yeah.
I drink tap water in New York and find it to be fine.
Yeah.
LA tap water, like...
It smells like bleach.
There's something wrong with it. I legitimately got a sore throat and was like, okay, I can't do this. Let's get some kind of filtration system because I'm not down with this glass bottled water nonsense.
Yeah.
I kind of feel the same way about free range and this whole thing. Yeah. And I'm like, at the end of the day, can I posit some reality where it's optimal to have farms working in some symbiosis where the eggs are contributing to the nutrients of the shells and all of this and everything's working together? Yes. Do I find that to be like the best? Yes. Okay.
Right.
But at the same time, those eggs are like $16 a dozen.
I know.
And like, I don't feel I have some kind of like a moral struggle with that when a regular like most of the human beings can't afford that.
Right.
And then here I am with my fancy eggs.
And your glass bottle of water.
Yeah, going to Erewhon and stores like this, they kind of turn my stomach a little bit.
Because they kind of rape you in a way, you know? Like, they're like, oh, well, the consumer's going to buy this because they expect this from us, and then we can charge an arm and a leg. And, you know, they probably buy the eggs from the farmer for like $5, and they sell them for $16. So that profit that they make isn't going back to the farmer. It's going in their pocket.
It's something with it just makes me uncomfortable. So I don't like going to stores like that.
Do you eat eggs?
Yeah, I do.
You do? Okay.
And for a while, I was being very conscious to try to do the pasture-raised, pasture-finished, both with meat or with dairy, because it seemed like, okay, that sounds right. That sounds smarter.
Right.
I know I don't feel good when I eat grains, so why would I eat, if I'm going to eat chicken, why would I eat a chicken that just ate grains? Like, it all made a lot of sense.
Right.
And, you know, kind of in a busy lifestyle and not paying too much attention to expenses and this and that, I'm just getting all pastured this, that, and the next thing.
Sure.
And then with COVID, being home for a few months and really paying attention to things and looking like, what do I buy? Where do I cook? What do I, you know?
Why do I need it?
Why do I need that?
Yep.
So I'm not saying that it's the... It's not correct ultimately, but the point that it isn't readily available to everyone, it's so much more expensive than even if you just want to say organic eggs, right?
Right.
It's kind of wild that that's the system we have. Like the less that we put into something, the more it costs, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, it's kind of wild. So, you know, now I'm kind of on the fence about having to do that. I think ultimately, is that the best? Sure, probably.
I agree. Right? Yes, it's ideal.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not participating in that.
Yeah.
If I could know that every artichoke was raised with love and then its head was cut off and gingerly brought to my table by somebody who cared for it, I like that. That's fine. But that's not real life also.
True. And I get confused too because I'm like, okay, it's cage-free. And there's ones that are free-range. So I'm like, so if they're cage-free, aren't they free-range? If they're free-range, what's the difference? Uh-huh. I get so confused with that. And then they're again...
Yeah, what's the difference between a cage and a pen? Is a pen just a larger cage?
Right, does that mean that they're cage-free but they're in pens? That or if they're free-range, that means they're just like roaming about? Like how... What? Like, and then they're like, it's organic. Well, how can a chicken be organic? Oh, because the feed you give it is organic? But it's still wheat? Like, it's just... it's too much.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I do think there's something to say. Like, I think... The occurrence of autoimmune disease in America are very high.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people have autoimmune. So that's not to be discounted.
Yeah.
Like if you have autoimmune, you should figure out what you have and how to deal with that.
Correct.
And you should deal with that. So nothing I'm saying discounts that.
Correct.
However, I've found that like with my goals, and my goal is only fat loss. That's it.
Okay.
My goal is muscle retention and fat loss. Now, maybe I get a blood test back and my goal changes, but consistently for a few years, my blood has been great and those are my goals. And as I go about it, it's like I don't need to eat eggs by chickens who were coddled. Like I don't need that. That doesn't help me in my goal. That's that becomes like a moral thing that I just choose not to care about right now.
And an expense thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for my wife and her friends, I go like, okay, if that's the game you're playing and you want to know that, like, we have a friend, Paige, who was drinking water. Not only was it a glass bottled water, but the water is caught midair in the glass, right? Is
this right?
Caught, like they go to the source and it's like shooting out of the mountain and the person runs up with a bottle, catches it in the bottle and caps it. And like, it's been no processing beyond that. And I'm like,
do you believe that?
Do I believe it? I believe they're paying extra for that story.
See, you have to be, I don't know. I feel like, too, my restrictions and everything is already sounds so bougie. It's like, excuse me, is there soy sauce in that and the cross-contamination? And, you know, every time I go eat somewhere, I'm always in the mindset of, like, I'm putting them out. Like, I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm apologizing for my allergy, which sounds dumb, but also, too, it's like, I want people to understand that I will feel bad if I'm just like, I'm gluten free. They're going to be like, this bitch. Mm-hmm. If I'm like, look, it's an allergy, not a preference. And can you ask the chef? And like 9 times out of 10, they come back. They're like, oh, it wasn't gluten free. I'm sorry. I told you that. And I'm like, thank God I had you ask because, you know, it just sounds so bougie, but you know,
well, but that's why I think you're really interesting because it's actually not bougie, but I think there is that connotation. That connotation exists in my mind because I know a bunch of people who are gluten free just because they heard somebody went gluten-free and it's like, oh, well, I guess I need to do that too.
Right. Or they see some celeb that's like, I haven't had this and this. And they're like, I want to be like you.
Right.
We want to consume constantly and have this like certain lifestyles and they feel like it's like an ego boost. They're like, I don't eat dairy anymore because Kim Kardashian said that. I'm like, I feel good about myself now. It's like for me, though, it's different. And I love to when I meet people and they're like, oh, my God, I have Hashimoto's too. And I'm like, brother, I'm like, amazing. And I'm like, what's your diet like? And they're like, I eat whatever. And I'm like, it's like, I feel like the cartoon character's like, wow, like my eyes bulge out of my head. I'm like, wait a minute, what? And they're like,
steroids.
Yeah, I'm just lazy.
Right.
I've had people look me in the eye and be like, I'm just lazy. I eat soy sauce and wheat flour. Like, fuck it. We're all going to die, right? And I'm like, oh my God. And I explain to them like, oh, I don't do those things. And they're like, wow. And I'm like, well, there's a will, there's a way. It just takes a little discipline and it's just food.
Yeah.
And it's just food.
It's also what is important to you.
Right.
Like to you, it sounds like to you, you want to feel good every day. You want to have energy.
Be healthy.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's important for you. And you've figured out what to eat, what not to eat in order to live a healthy
control
life where
it.
You feel good every day.
Yeah.
That person who's going, yeah, whatever, I eat this and that, they don't really... Either they're not noticing it, they're not as in tune with their daily, you know, like, or they just don't care.
They don't care. And I think, too, they think, like, I'll just deal with it when it happens. You know, if you have a nail in your tire at some point, that tire will be flat.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you know, it's like, that's how I look at it. It's like, after a while, your body's going to go, I'm tired. I can't fight this anymore. And there's going to be repercussions to that. So, when I see that, it's just like, and I can't fight somebody else's battle. I'm still fighting my own every day, you know, making sure I'm eating safe and being healthy and everything. And so it's like, when I hear that, I'm like, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But I think to your point where you said like you eat McDonald's every day and your body's going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think people do, like when I think back to being morbidly obese, one of the biggest daily things that I wanted to lessen was just constant discomfort. And I mean from like the way my clothes fit. And I mean actually like the difference between standing up and sitting down, the amount of pressure that would go on my waistband would double and I would have, you know, rashes and all of this. The way my feet felt, being introverted about people hearing me breathe, so constantly holding my breath when I was near people, like all of this stuff, sweating, never being physically comfortable was something that I wanted to be. And I've actually found that being accustomed to being uncomfortable works in my favor because now it's like, well, you got to go to the gym and make yourself uncomfortable.
Right.
Great. I know how to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You got to eat in a way that is going to seem for a while to be uncomfortable because you're going to be withholding food or like figuring shit out and it's not going to be what you're accustomed to.
Right.
Great. Again, I know how to be uncomfortable, but like, it's on my terms. You know what I mean? It's
you're in control of the uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a good perspective.
I also know that the way I was eating, I wasn't ever aware of like if I had a meal and it would put me to sleep. Like that was the norm.
Right.
Right. And so now, if I eat something and it has an effect, it's so much more present because most of the time, the only effect food is having on me is fuel.
Energy. Yeah.
I need energy. So I'm eating and that's all I'm getting. Energy, energy, energy. So if I eat something and it has any other effect than that,
it is
right there.
But that's great though, because that's your body's alarm system going, don't do this to me again. I don't want this. This doesn't work with us. Yeah, I like those feelings though.
Me too.
And as much as you're like, I ate that, made me feel bad. It's like, okay, that I don't want to eat this anymore, or I need to like avoid this, and that's smart.
Yeah,
your body is heightened.
Yeah,
you know, which is good. You're sensitive to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's good. I think you could. I think it is. It does require kind of analytical thought and determination because. All of my habits growing up were bad habits.
Right.
And so I have to really rethink like what a normal meal is.
Right.
And I don't have the regulator that says, boom, you're done.
Right.
Like how a normal person can just eat and then stop eating. I'm like, you got food on your plate. What the fuck are you doing?
Right.
You're
right,
not
right.
finished yet.
Right.
You know, and you haven't asked for more bread. Like what's happening here?
Right.
And I'm the same way with alcohol too. Like my wife has a glass of wine and sips it. And then sets it down and then we're waiting to leave a restaurant and there's still a half a glass of wine and I have anxiety. I'm like, why don't you fucking drink that wine?
Yeah,
what are we doing?
Yeah.
And she's like, let's go. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
There's wine in your glass.
Yeah.
Drink it, you know.
But she has self-control.
She has self-control and she also just doesn't care. Like she's not looking to get blackout drunk every time she touches alcohol like I was, you know, and she's not trying to, like the mechanisms in her with food aren't, I need the click for me is when I've damaged myself.
Right.
You know, when my body says you cannot fit anymore in here and we've even made room for sweets and you filled that little section up and there's no more room and you need to actually lay down.
Yeah.
That's like my version of you've had enough food.
Do you feel like it's like a little self-abusive?
Probably. Like I can't get there consciously, probably subconsciously, totally. Yeah. I'm sure it's all of that stuff, you know, and there's all kinds of control issues. I'm sure I haven't figured that's beyond me. All I'm doing is like, how do I form?
Baby steps.
I need a new habit. What's my new habit? Okay. Yeah. This is a normal plate of food. How do I feel when I've eaten that? Right. I don't recognize anything telling me to stop eating other than I'm now out of food, but I've limited how much
the
I
portions.
Start with. Yeah.
That's smart.
So it's just like you said, the body will figure it out.
Yeah.
Your body's going to figure out eating on a better plan too.
Correct.
And then you're going to be more open to awareness of eating something and having a bad effect.
Right.
You know, in the same way.
Well, because you're also not consuming so much at once. And you're still tapping into that control part of you where you're like, you have the amount of food and you're like, I know I can eat all this.
Yeah.
You're in control still.
Yeah.
So mentally you're like, cool. And your body's like, thank God we're not overeating. So it's a healthy balance.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Even with calories though, I will say like in the beginning of counting calories, I would kind of starve myself throughout the day and go like, I got 2,000 calories. I got 200 grams of protein. I'm going to fucking
But that's
kill
reward. That's
right
what I'm
now.
Saying. You're rewarding your body
it
with
It was
food.
Bad. And
I
will also openly say, like, when you consume too much protein at once, the gas that comes with it is not fun. And nobody
and
in your house like it. It's not fun.
And the oof.
Yeah. So spacing it out has proven to be the workable way to
and
do it.
And you have to. Like it's, you know, your body can only consume and digest so much at once. Your stomach is only like this big, you know? And I love when people are like, oh, my stomach is full. And they grab their intestines. I'm like, no, your stomach is right here.
Yeah.
Like your stomach hits it first. So my nutritionist was like, just eat slow. And then when your stomach is full, wait. And if you're still hungry, then eat. But don't scarf down food because then you're just expanding your stomach. So you're going to still feel full or still feel hungry because you're expanding your stomach.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. I've learned so much about the body with this whole process, which has like been a blessing and a curse because now I just overanalyze everything I eat. Like every time I eat something, I'm like, okay, what's my body getting from this? You know, like, is it garbage? Is it junk? Like, okay, if I'm going to have dairy, then I'm going to get a mucusy throat. Okay, I get that. Like I always just think about everything I eat. So it's like kind of exhausting, but also kind of nice because I know exactly what I'm eating.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
But that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always tell people too, and they're like, oh, I'm so excited to go to this restaurant. Like food has never been fun for me, like, you know, the past like decade. I mean, it's fun, but it's not like, oh my God, I get to try this. It's like, okay, wait, I'm going to call the restaurant. I got to like get my footing in first. Like, is there cross-contamination? Is there this and this? Like, I order pizza. Can I use a fresh cutter? Is it a gluten-free kitchen? Like, you know, it's like, it's a stress. And then I enjoy the food. But, you know, restaurants are, I kind of go to the same places a lot because it's easy for me to go. I know what I'm getting. I know I'm not going to get sick. Yeah, food's interesting.
Food is interesting. Let me ask you this. Have you had Lucifer's gluten-free pizza?
Yeah. Oh, it's
that's
so good.
That's really,
it's like one of my favorites.
I will take that over a normal pizza most days. Yeah. In Los Angeles, there's not a lot of great pizza.
That's true.
And Lucifer's gluten-free pizza is damn good.
And I love that. That's their motto, damned good. It's super thin. When I ate meat, I don't promote pineapple on pizza, but they used to do this prosciutto and pineapple gluten-free. I would eat the whole entire thing. Granted, it's not that big, but that was like my jam.
Yeah.
Now I just get vegetables, of course, but I love Lucifer's. And they have a dedicated station for gluten-free, and they put it on a whole, it's like very safe to eat there.
Yeah, it's legit.
Yeah. And also Fresh Brothers. I really like Fresh Brothers because they have.
Them. Oh, yeah. They
I mean, have I know them. I don't know they're gluten-free.
Mm-hmm. They have like gluten-free brownies and gluten-free, you know, like vegan chicken fingers, and they have this whole like vegan gluten-free, and they do impossible meat, so you can get a gluten-free pizza with diet cheese and impossible meat, like, and everything is super. I've never gotten sick at Fresh Brothers.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's good. Yeah, there's a lot of options.
There
you
are
know?
So many options. Yeah. And I fall back on Veggie Grill. Do you know Veggie Grill?
Yeah.
That's for vegans.
It's like fast food, though.
It is.
Vegan fast food.
But like the first time I had it, I was like, this is vegan? This is like a fried chicken sandwich I'm eating right now on gluten-free bread, and nothing about it seems phony.
Yeah, Crossroads. My friend Travis owns Crossroads. Have you guys been there?
Is that the place where it's always like, be humble or...
No, that's Cafe Gratitude.
Cafe Gratitude. Yeah.
Like the day word of the day is strategy. You're like,
I don't know Crosswords, but I went to Cafe Gratitude and I was just like, this is not my place.
It's like Erewhon on crack.
Yeah.
But Crossroads is an all vegan restaurant, and it's cool. The inside set up like a cool like 1950s fancy restaurant, and it's like a bougie vegan restaurant, but they do really cool things. Like they'll take eggplant and then make like a brisket out of it.
Oh, wow.
And they do crab cakes that are made out of artichoke hearts and hearts of palm. And they'll do these oysters on like an artichoke leaf with like whatever. So everything's vegan. Most of it's gluten-free, but their food is really good. And they do a brunch and they do a chicken and waffles that's not gluten-free. I've never had it, but I have friends that have, and it's all vegan and it looks just like a piece of chicken. I'm like, how is this possible?
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
They figured this stuff out. Yeah.
I know.
It's molecular gastronomy, but like to the nth degree. It's like they've gone wild with this stuff. You can eat anything grown in a vat and it tastes delicious.
Or they, you know, you can take peas and make a pea protein burger. You're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
You know, I always say like no animals were harmed for my meal. You know, like I didn't have to take a life to save mine kind of a thing. And it's so cool. It's like... And impossible meat tastes just like a burger to me. Granted, I haven't had one in like a year and a half. But when I cook it and eat it, I'm like, it satiates that craving I get.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. It's so weird how your brain can be like tricked like that.
I think there's something in meat called heme, which is what your brain is looking for.
Yeah.
And they have figured out plant heme that they put
through
in
beets.
It. Yeah, that's right.
And when you press it, it bleeds and everything. Yeah.
Like your brain kind of... On the animal instinct is like, I want a little bit of blood.
Yeah, for sure. And the first time I had an Impossible Burger, I think I went up to the chef like three times. I'm like, okay, are you sure this isn't meat? Like, I will get sick. And he's like, no, it's impossible. And I know what it tastes like. I can smell the meat impossible. I know what it is. But at first I was like, no, he's fucking with me. Like,
right.
He probably was like, this fucking dummy, I'm going to give her real meat. I was like, please. But it was impossible meat. And it looked and tasted just like meat. And it kind of freaked me out.
Yeah.
My body was like, I don't know about this.
Right. It's a little too close.
What is it exactly? Like,
it's from beets. I don't know exactly how they did it. But like when you cook impossible meat and you grill it and you like smush it, like it bleeds. And you can cook it rare and eat it like that. You can cut into it and it looks like it's medium rare. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. And they make sausages now. Like Beyond Meat makes sausages that are really good. And it's like, it's great. And they're high protein, you know, so... I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, I never get sick, like I mentioned earlier. And when I stopped eating meat, like a month later, I got this like crazy flu. And I was like, oh man, like, did I catch the flu? I'm like, that's so weird. Like I never get the flu. I never get flu shots. Like, and it was just like this hardcore, like my whole body felt inside out. And my nutritionist was like, I don't think you had the flu. I think your body was detoxing for your entire decades of life. You've eaten meat.
Yeah.
And then you just stopped for a whole month. And she's like, your body was detoxing. I was like, I got like a fever and chills. And like, I was tired. It felt like my whole body just like shut down. I was like, that's so crazy. And so she was like, look, if you go to eat meat again, you're going to get that same thing because you're reintroducing the thing your body's detoxed. So you could get like really sick. And everyone I know that started eating meat again was like, got super sick.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't know if I'll ever eat meat again, to be honest. Unless a doctor is like, yo, it's screwing up your insides, then I would obviously have to. But until then, I'm going to stay meat free as long as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've talked to a couple vegans about it because I do want to try it at some point. Yeah.
You just got to make sure you stay protein high, because if not, you're going to get super tired.
Yeah. But I also think there's something to the length of time. Like, yep. I don't think 3 days is going to give you an accurate gauge of...
Yeah, 3 months
for sure.
It takes
a while to actually see how your body functions with it. Because you do have to, like, purge it of everything else it's accustomed to.
Yeah. And then you get cravings and, you know, you get tired. Like, whenever you remove anything out of your diet, you know, like, if you stopped eating chicken tomorrow... Your body would go through some sort of like, you know, what's it called when people like kick drugs and stuff?
Withdrawal.
Yeah. You'd go through some withdrawal process.
Delirium tremens from chicken.
Oh, yeah. Tryptophan. Like that's turkey, right?
Yeah. Tryptophan. Yeah. That amino acid.
Yeah.
Which my mom used to try to give me as a sleeping, as mm-hmm. a sedative.
Mm-hmm. A sedative.
Oh, she's like, eat this turkey.
Poor man's sedatives. Yeah. Do you have anything you want to add, Paige, from the gal's perspective?
From the gal's perspective? Yeah. I just want to say you reminded me.
Okay.
Because, yes, I am guilty of being one of Ethan's wife's friends who has done trendy diets. But you reminded me that it is about how you feel and putting health first.
Correct.
Actually, anytime I've ever done that in the past, whether it was exercise or food or whatnot, when I made that more of the priority for myself, it was actually easier.
Yeah.
And it made all the little daily actions feel... I don't know, just like a bigger purpose, I guess, than just I want to lose X amount of pounds, you know?
Right.
So I actually appreciate that. You reminded me of that today.
Oh,
like, pay attention how you feel when you eat something. And ultimately, like, you know what you can and can't eat because of your health.
Right.
So, yeah, not necessarily girl's perspective, but just I got that.
Yeah, I think mostly for me, and I am open to people figuring out what's right for them to do. I just think, like, if you're going to go carnivore, but... Because you're inspired by a celebrity who went carnivore, but you're vegan and you don't eat meat, I would just go like, maybe you rethink that. You know what I mean? Maybe carnivore isn't the way to go.
Right.
But maybe it is also. Yeah. I just think that so often we're sold as something. For me, it was keto and also gluten-free.
Yeah.
I really believed that I couldn't eat that because I believed nobody could eat that. And it was just not true.
For you.
For me.
Yeah.
I could eat it.
Exactly.
And I was fine.
And
I definitely can overeat and I feel crappy when I do that. And I know if I don't get enough fiber, I also feel crappy.
No pun intended.
Not good. Yeah. And that crap will sit in you for a while and make you feel real crappy.
Yeah.
But like as long as I eat the way I eat when I feel good, I feel great.
Yeah.
So that's all I was saying.
Yeah.
You know, I think you gals are often trying to do something and then somebody will say, well, like, you know, bell peppers are bad. And so suddenly the skin of bell peppers are off the table. And I'm like, come
on. No, 100%. It's 100%. It's too much.
Question from the booth, Narod here.
Let's do it.
Jamie, it seems like you are just like so in tune with your body and you've really gotten this thing down. And I'm wondering, like, do you ever have days where, like, if I'm ever like on a diet or if I'm like really watching what I eat, I'll have like a crazy crash day where I'm just like, forget this. I'm eating 10 bags of hot Cheetos and cupcakes. So do you ever have a day where you're a little bit thrown off and not as in control? And if so, like, how do you kind of come back from that? Or do you have to reset? Or do you have any like tips for that?
That's a good question. I also have a little bit of OCD, so like in a healthy way, you know, where I'm like, okay, like I gotta do this or do that. But I do let myself like have fun. Like if I'm hungover, the one thing I, is like my vice are jalapeno cheddar Cheetos.
Wow, that seems like it can't be.
That doesn't seem like it can fit.
It's not great. I know going into it, like I accept the challenge. I'm like, I'm going to feel dodgy. I know it's not good for me. I don't eat things with MSG. There's MSG in it. Like I've already gone, like I know what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm not like, fuck it. Whatever happens, happens. Like I got my body's back. I'm like, yo, we're going to take one for the team today. But like, that's like the one thing. And I can never like splurge on things like that. Like I'll go to eat them. And then within like 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, worn out my welcome. Like I, like with you and you're like, if it's in front of me, I'll eat all of it. For me, I have a lot of self-control. So when I do, if I, it's just like the way I feel. So as soon as I start to feel funny, I'll stop. Yeah. Same with like alcohol, you know, like I can drink a bottle of wine one night and the next week I can have like one glass and be like, oh, I don't feel good. And I'll stop. Mm-hmm. You know, I just gauge on how I feel. But if I'm craving something, like one day I'll be like, oh my God, you know what baby cakes is?
No.
Yes.
It's a gluten-free, vegan, agave-based bakery. And so if I'm craving something, like they have these little things called a princess brownie, and it's like a little like chocolate brownie with like chocolate chips inside and some vanilla frosting they made out of fucking vegan whatever. If I'm craving that, I'll go and get one. Like if I'm craving it, I'll let myself have it, you know, because there's something that I'm needing, I feel like. Like when I crave cheese, I'll eat it because I'm like, maybe I'm my vitamin D is low, or like I always try to think like what my body wants. So I do splurge on those kind of things, but I don't go overboard. Like, I'm not going to eat, like, 10 bags of Cheetos, or I don't ever have, like, a, I don't like to let myself feel, like, remorse. Like, I don't want to eat something and be like, oh, I wish I didn't do that. Because you're taking the fun out of it. And your body is going to feel that energy and go, okay, we should process this bad. You know? So it's like, I'm just, if I'm going to splurge on something, I'm going to eat it and be like, this is cool. Until I feel bad, I'll stop. And just accept my decision. Because like I said, if you put that in there and go, I shouldn't eat this. This is naughty. Your body, it's that energy, you know? Your body is like being scared off the cliff like the cow. It's that energy you're putting into your system. And you put that into the food every time you put it in your mouth.
On that line, let me ask you this. How do you mitigate issues with travel? Like, do you find travel to be tough? That's got to be tough. Yeah. It's tough for me.
It is. It's hard. You know, the one thing too, like now being meat free, because I do travel a lot. I mean, not during the Rona, but I would be in an airport at least like twice a month. And it's now it's like, okay, you're taking meat out of the diet and I already was gluten free. So it's hard. Like I know kind of where I can eat in airports and things. Most of the time I just bring my own nuts and protein bars and things like that. Or like if I do have like a long travel, having to tell the airlines before about my meal, like, okay, it's gluten free. Now it's meat free, but I can have salmon as long as the salmon is gluten free. And airlines don't give a shit. They're like, yeah, girl, whatever. Like 9 times out of 10, people are like, oh, you had a gluten free thing? I don't have it. And I'm like, whatever. I just have a bag of chips. Like kettle chips are like my go to because they're always gluten free. I can get fat, calories, sodium, eat a bag of those until I can find like some kind of thing to satiate my food. But I bring a lot of things. And the one thing I love, it sounds gross. Everyone I tell this to is like, ew, is I'll saute green beans in olive oil and sea salt and garlic, like a big bag. And I'll put them in the fridge, put them in my travel bag when I get on the airplane, and I'll eat them like chips. And it's great because it's good nutrients. There's water based to it. There's sodium in it. And I eat them and I feel so good. Like I will feel full.
Yeah.
And people are always like, are you eating green beans? I'm like, yeah, sorry. You know, well, it's me. I don't need meat. But I used to do that before I stopped eating meat because it was such a quick, easy snack.
Yeah.
That was healthy. So I always overload my carry-on with protein bars and snacks and stuff. And I used to bring the Onnit protein powder in like a little container and I would go to like a coffee bean or Starbucks at the airport and be like, just buy a glass of almond milk and then pour it in there and shake it up and drink it on the plane. So it's like there's certain ways that you can travel and be smart. I just don't ever want to be in a situation because for me, my body, my metabolism is always high. So the second I feel hunger, I have a good 5-10 minute window to eat. After that, boom, my blood sugar drops. My hands are getting tingly. I'm in panic mode. And the more I panic, the more my blood sugar drops. So I don't work well in those situations, so I have to have something around me constantly.
It's really about thinking it out beforehand and
correct.
Bringing what you need with you.
Being prepared. And for me, when I get in those stages, I have to have only protein. If I like have chocolate milk or something that to like bring my sugar back up, I crash even harder.
Yeah.
So I have to make sure that it's like low carb, high protein when I travel because I will just feel like garbage.
Yeah. I almost always have a shaker bottle and some protein powder with me. And I will say, almond milk I found to be a total game changer because you can get a cup of almond milks, like if it's sugar-free, it's like 35 calories.
Yeah.
Which is nothing.
The only thing I don't like about almond milk and coconut milk is that there's zero protein. Sometimes it's like less than 1%. The one thing I haven't been able to kick is organic soy milk. I know everyone is like, you have a thyroid problem. You shouldn't have soy. I'm like, I know, but 4 ounces of soy milk is almost 10 grams of protein.
I didn't know.
Yeah. And it's low calorie, low sugar, high in protein. So I'm like, every morning I have organic soy milk with my green tea in my green tea latte. I don't do coffee. So the one thing, and I've been drinking it for years, but soy milk, I love because if it's organic, but it's so high in vitamins and so high in protein. Like I said, 4 ounces is almost 10 grams of protein. It's crazy.
Yeah, I will only rarely throw almond milk in a protein shake and then actually make it have some viscosity and, you know, some substance. But and I'm already having protein powder, so I don't need the extra protein. But that is very rare that I even do that.
I used to drink my green tea lattes with almond milk, and I would just crash so hard. I'm like, oh, why is it affecting my blood sugar so much? And then a friend of mine was like, oh, well, what's the protein in the almond milk? And I was like, oh, it's less than 1%. They were like, oh, then you're having all sugar and all caffeine and no protein to stabilize you. And I was like, duh. And then when I substituted it for soy milk, I always felt fine.
Yeah.
So I was like, dang, I don't know what else I can do to shake the almond milk. I need like another protein-based milk that's soy-free. Yeah. That's my new struggle.
Pea protein milk.
Oh, yeah. That's right. They just came out with that.
Yeah.
And then that milk. It's like M-A-L-K. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It's like a catch the water in the glass bottle kind of a milk. It's like a
walnut milk.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a walnut nut milk. And I swear to God, it's about 6 ounces for like $15. That's high protein, but also like I would go through that in 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to say, and I apologize to anybody this offends, but when I walk through a health food store, because when I was a kid, a health food store, like everybody in the health food store was either a Sikh or they looked like they had cancer and were on macrobiotic diets. Like that was what a health food store was.
Or they had armpit hair and didn't wear deodorant.
Totally. Yes. They were hippies. Yes. They were like of a person. And now it's all so like
trendy
for wealthy people.
Yeah.
It's just like, how can we entertain wealthy people?
Yeah.
And it makes me nauseous. Yeah. I want to eat bacon-wrapped hot dogs in Echo Park and corn dipped in mayonnaise, and I want nothing to do with milk.
Right,
and,
right,
shit in Erewhon. So if you are a person listening to this and you're very fancy and you love your toasted nut milk latte, I apologize.
Don't apologize.
I will be in Echo Park.
Don't apologize because that is how you feel.
Hot dogs. That's how
that is your prerogative.
Yeah. Jamie, thank you.
Thank you guys for having
me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now I will answer some questions that we received at AmericanGlutton.net. This question comes from Joe. He asks, how do you get into a mindset of maintenance? On a 2-week maintenance period, he basically went back to his old habits for a week and gained 11 pounds. Joe, I treat maintenance as just another portion of my diet. So maintenance for me is still very strict. My intention is to neither gain nor lose weight on maintenance. And now there can be a 3-pound cushion on either side of whatever number you're holding. You know, just we don't want to get too insanely extreme about this because depending on what we have to eat and how much fluid we drink and our bowel movements, that fluctuation is completely normal. A couple pounds either side of your weight. But so when I go into maintenance, it is not a mindless thing. Nothing about it is just being relaxed or casual. It is a very strictly laid out program that mirrors pretty much a cut that I've done, but it's just a slight increase in calories, specifically carbohydrates and fat, because I'm getting pretty much the same amount of protein on my cut as I am on my maintenance. You got to kind of think about maintenance or a diet break in a different way. And I've done that too, where I go like, oh, yay, maintenance. It's like pizza week, but that's not what it is. It's literally a period of time where you are neither gaining nor losing weight. So if you're losing weight on maintenance, you're not doing maintenance. If you're gaining weight on maintenance, you're not doing maintenance. So at no point should it be about, like, I think if you're going to fail on a diet, you should have just as much potential to fail during the very strict part of the diet as you do on maintenance, which is really designed to give your body a break from losing weight. I also use it to kind of reset all the terrible habits that I created as a kid and all my bad relationships with food. I don't have that voice that I think of people as being normal, and I think of myself as not being normal. And I think a normal person will sit down to dinner and eat, and then something within them says, I'm not hungry anymore, I'm not going to eat anymore, and they just stop eating. And I don't really do that. I eat, or I can eat until I am comatose practically, or until I am incapable of movement, because I've added so much weight and so much to my body having to digest that food that it's almost sick. And so during maintenance, I'll really go like, this is the amount of food at this point. My body should be telling me I'm done. Now I have to tell myself I'm done, but I've actually eaten enough. I'm not going to lose weight. I'm not going to gain weight. This is actually the exact amount of food I should be eating to maintain my weight, and try to get into like seeing what it feels like when I finish that meal. How do I feel? And just to try to establish new habits with regard to eating. So I really do treat maintenance as a place to build habits and continue dieting. It really is a trying to educate myself on how I use food. That's how I think about maintenance. I hope that's helpful, Joe. If you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast, please submit it to AmericanGlutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee, and as always, joined by my chaperone, Paige Dorian. Follow us on Instagram @AmericanGluttonPodcast. Sincerely.